U.S. Steel says it expects long-term demand for steel to grow at about 3% a year, compared with an average of 2% per year over the past two decades. Industrials were at 894.32, up 2.66 on the New York Stock Exchange. The interim averages at 2 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time show the transportation's up, utilities unchanged, and stocks are up. All stocks index 53.52, up 0.15, or equivalent to a gain of 10 cents in the average price of a New York Stock Exchange common share. The time is 12:15. That's the market report today, brought to you by Len Ventling, your State Farm Insurance representative at 5th and Broadwater Avenue. Unofficially, it's 42 degrees at KURL AM-FM in Billings, Montana. High today is supposed to be officially near 40. Windy conditions predicted. Possibility of snow showers increasing to 20% today, 40% tonight, 30% for tomorrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, how do the communists feel about the fuel crisis? You need to know the answer to that one, and I'll be back in just a moment to share some brand new developments for you.
The Center for American Studies presents Dr. Stuart McBurney on the Voice of Americanism. This nationwide program stands for free enterprise and freedom under God. Now, Dr. McBurney and his analysis of the news.
Let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, the communists are the enemies of capitalism, and they identify the United States as what they call the last bastion of capitalism. Long ago, Lenin predicted that the capitalist countries would sell or give the rope that could be used to hang them, and I think that's exactly what we're doing right now. By trading with the Soviet Union, we're strengthening their economy. Thus, we are strengthening their military might and their subversive power. By making the lot of the Soviet citizen easier, we're taking pressure off his government. And that pressure within the government, that implacable, merciless pressure to conquer the world through subversion and what they call internal wars of liberation, causes the communist powers to have more strength and more resources than they would have if they had to live with the consequences of their system. In other words, the United States bails the communists out. We did it before Hoover became president, when Mr. Hoover was over there in the Soviet Union right after the revolution. There was a great famine caused, mind you, not by the weather or by other things that were wrong in the natural order of things, but caused by the horrible communist revolution. And consequently, a lot of folks were starving, millions in fact, and Stalin and others let them starve. But Mr. Hoover went around the world and got a great deal of aid for the starving people of the Soviet Union and shipped it over there and bailed the communists out. Now, I don't think he intended to do that. A lot of people think he did, that is to say, intend to bail the communists out, but I've always felt that Mr. Hoover was very sincere, a humanitarian. Maybe you don't agree with that, but it doesn't matter. The point is this: we did bail the communists out. Then we did it again, foolishly, in World War II. I remember World War II only too vividly, and what folly it was when we joined hand in hand with the communists. Now look at what we did, what stupidity we were guilty of. I can't say anything good about Nazism. Hitler was an unspeakably foul human being. Many think that he was not even human. Well, of course, that's a figure of speech. But the point is, there's nothing good to say about Nazism. It was bad. But is communism any better? It would have been far better for the world had we let those two totalitarian giants battle it out and tear each other to pieces and leave two great nations as weakened giants, and then have moved into the situation and have imposed peace upon both their evil houses. That's what we should have done, but foolishly we didn't. With Lend-Lease, we rushed to the aid of the Russians. And how did they repay us, these communists? Not with gratitude, Even during the war, those that made the run to Murmansk and other seaports, those who flew, the bombers and the airplanes that carried materiel into the Soviet Union, were isolated, not even allowed to circulate among the people. In other words, treated like strangers and enemies. And then when the war was over, what was the first thing that the Soviet Union did? It moved in with strength to take as much of Eastern Europe as it could possibly hold. And shortly after that time, it dropped what Winston Churchill named the Iron Curtain. And after that, the Berlin Blockade. And after that, the Cold War, subversion, internal wars of revolution, and then the communist-backed wars of Korea, Indochina, or Vietnam, and other wars around the world. And gradually, communism spread. Yet, again and again and again, we rushed to their aid and bailed them out. Last year, when the Russians were short of wheat, we bailed them out, sold them wheat at a ridiculously low price, and wheat's been up high as a cat's back ever since. And now we're running a little bit short of it. The Russians say they'll sell us back some of our wheat. No, I don't think we delivered all that wheat. I think we still have some of it here, but it has been sold to the Soviet Union. It looks to me like Congress could pass a law that we could not export wheat, even if it had been sold, if a certain period of time had elapsed and it had not yet been delivered, and if the needs of the United States were great. Because I don't believe that we ought to deliver wheat that we sold to the Russians at a ridiculously low price, when the world price of wheat right now is much higher, at least double what it was, perhaps triple. I don't recall the exact figures, but it's way up there. And there is, apparently, some kind of a wheat shortage. I've watched the products that are made of wheat and other grains rise in price just unconscionably. Now, the point of it all is this. We rushed to their aid. We're doing it again right now. And yet, how do the Russians, the Reds everywhere, in fact, feel about the energy crisis? Well, 20 communist parties got together for a three-day meeting in Brussels. They agreed that the energy crisis gives a big boost to their revolutionary goals. European communists especially are excited by prospects arising from the economic storms generated by soaring oil prices and burgeoning conflicts among industrial nations. In other words, they've smelled blood. And like the tiger gets excited when he smells fresh blood, so the Soviet Union has not lost the implications of the lesson that it has learned by observing how easily the world could be upset or old alliances broken, old friendships shattered, and how all of this could be done through the manipulation of oil. Don't you think the Soviet Union sniffs the oil right now and is making plans to move? I shared with you on the recent broadcast this fact, that Dr. Harold Agnew, director of the Los Alamos, New Mexico Scientific Laboratory, at a very important symposium, said that the continuance of the Arab oil embargo, now he's not talking about just the announced embargo that was a phony, but any continuance of the Arabs' cornering of the oil market, could lead to a Soviet takeover of Saudi Arabia itself, one of the world's largest oil producers. And listen to this. He said, and I quote, "It will happen within the next 6 months, and it will be devastating for all of us." Boy, that's some statement. And yet, other information comes across my desk, which confirms that that's exactly what's going to happen. These European communists are saying that there is a general crisis of world capitalism, and that is historically inevitable, that it is at hand, and that the possibility should be probed whether or not the communist nations could accelerate that crisis to bring it upon the world more quickly. And guess what that means? That means that they believe that a world crisis, an economic crisis, will happen that it is the result of capitalism, and that it is historically inevitable. That means it's going to come regardless of what happens. It may come quickly or it may come slowly, but it will come. Now, the communists want this international crisis to come quickly, and they see now, finally, how to bring it about, namely through drying up the oil supplies of the world or controlling the oil supplies of the world and threatening to cut those oil supplies off. All right, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to see how it's going to work? It's as simple as this. What would stop the Soviet Union from coming down from the borders that it shares with such nations as Iraq and Turkey and very close to Syria? What would prevent the Soviet Union from coming down in great numbers, by the way, in some of those new trucks at the Kama truck factory, which they're building with American aid and help? Suppose they took 50,000, 100,000 trucks, no tanks, just trucks, and loaded them with soldiers. Is there anybody in Syria that could stop them as they went southward? And so 100,000 or 50,000 or 20,000 truckloads of Soviet soldiers coming south. Not very long ago, the Shah of Iran, in an interview, which I have right here on the desk before me, said very plainly, "We will resist the Russians if they ever come." But he said, "Let's not kid ourselves, we couldn't stop them." Could the Syrians, could the Turks, could the Jordanians? Well, what is directly south of Jordan and Israel, which run more or less parallel down the main spine of the land bridge that unites three continents, which we call the Holy Land? Well, the next nation south is Saudi Arabia. And then the Soviet Union would simply have to go across the sands. And the Saudi Arabian army doesn't number 10,000 men. It couldn't stop anybody who really seriously wanted to come. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying to you is that there are no barricades, no reasons on this green earth why the Soviet Union couldn't march south. Indeed, march is not the word, just simply drive south. They wouldn't have to have tanks. The only two nations that could give them any kind of resistance at all are Israel and Iran, or as we used to call it, Persia. And no one supposes that tiny Israel or middle-sized but emerging Iran could possibly slow down the Soviet Union, much less stop them in their tracks. There is only one power on the face of this earth that could stop the Soviet Union, and that is the United States. But will we have European allies this time? With the world's oil up for grabs, don't bet on it. They may wish to make peace. Remember their behavior in the recent Arab-Israeli war, when they wouldn't even let American planes land in Europe for refueling on their way to assist the Israelis. No, don't bet on it, because America may suddenly find herself with very few friends indeed. By the way, one of the most fascinating studies in the world is one that you can make in your own Bible for just such a scenario as I have outlined to you today, taking advantage for the conquest of the world, of the world's weakened economy, of the world's oil resources. That can all be found very clearly laid out in the 38th and 39th chapters of the book of Ezekiel, but be sure you read it in terms of the ancient names of the nations listed there, and be sure you watch for the date which appears there, at least the era in which this great invasion is to take place. And don't think it strange and unusual that a news analyst would call your attention to an ancient prediction. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it reads very much like what could come very soon. This is Dr. McBurney and the Voice of Americanism earnestly requesting and asking for your help and support. Because it's vital that this program that stands for a strong America be kept on the air. That our publications be kept in print and reaching millions of people. And you can help Your contribution does more than keep us on the air. It spreads literature. It does so much else. We need your help. And in appreciation, I'd like to share back with you one of several important new publications which we have for you this month. One of them is called 1974, the Year of the Terrorist. You'd better read it. And ask for it when you write us to the Voice of Americanism, Glendale, California, 91209. Goodbye, and God bless you.
The Center for American Studies has presented Dr. McBurney with his analysis of the news. Published materials offered on today's...
You lose more of your privacy, freedom, and rights. And you are required by law to obey increasing federal orders. All because American liberals have designed a new, sophisticated, and modern American slavery. You are no longer your own person, if you ever were. This is Freedom Talk number 73, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 2 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. I'll be back after this message from our Lifeline sponsor. The role of the chemist who prepares health-protecting drugs, this is vital in our society of free men, is that of the doctor and druggist. That's where the chemists and technicians at the HLH Medical Center Laboratories are selected for their jobs with great care. And that's why the HLH Medical Center products are known for quality and results. Medicine cabinets stocked with HLH Medical Center drugs are essential in case of emergency. Accidents of minor nature can be dealt with on the spot with HLH first aid medications. And ailments that do not require prescription drugs can be treated with equal confidence, all because you're using HLH Medical Center drugs for health. Let H.L. Hunt Sales call 1401 Elm, Dallas, Texas, 75202 for a list of stores in your area handling all products or for their information. Subscribe to Lifelines, our 3 times a week Liberty paper, at $5 for 6 months or $9 a year from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. After a little more than 90 days of having your personal activities interfered with and dictated to by an oppressive and suppressive federal bureaucracy, perhaps now you'll give sober thought to what has been happening to your country over the last 40 years. Today, Washington dictates to you the precise temperature you may have in your home, how far and how often you may drive your personal car, on what day and at what time you are allowed to fly to some other place, the very time of your everyday, and the price you will pay for the stupidity of government, collectivists, and super-liberals. These are but the latest and most visible evidences that you are now, firmly and solidly, a slave to liberal collectivism. Modern slavery has been calculatingly designed by misguided behavioral scientists and their unwitting puppets. The kind of people who have us so deeply mired in deficit spending of public money, an impossible public debt, no-win wars, a frighteningly expensive war on poverty, education that destroys morality, spiritual conviction and patriotism, and who brought us to our knees through deliberately created shortages, are the kind of people who have most influenced public and private affairs in this country for the past 40 years. By nature, they are collectivists and socialists. By nature, such people use the Congress and state legislatures, thousands of new do-good associations, tax-free foundations, colleges, and universities, to produce the most cruel form of intellectual and mental slavery the world has ever known. True, we are free in our bodies. We are not driven to our work by whips with chains on our legs, and neither are we lashed back into dark caves or filthy hovels at night. In some ways, however, the slavery you and I are enduring today is even more merciless than that form of physical cruelty. Most Americans over 20 years of age have tasted the flavor of some freedom, and they have found it good. But they were told that full and complete human freedom could only come through carefully contrived public law, powerfully enforced by smothering bureaucracy, and financed by massive new taxation upon all the people. Too many Americans bought that line of nonsense. We have tolerated consumer advocates symbolized by Ralph Nader, despite early warnings that this one greedy, ambitious man seeking personal power could do us all great harm. Because millions of Americans were convinced some kind of magic would occur if the federal government would just take over and cure practically every ill and problem of humanity. Deep inside, I know you doubted that such policies would create utopia. You are slaves to a new technical, scientific, and political beast which springs from the minds of power-starved men and women. Most of them honestly believe they are doing this country a service. That makes it all the more tragic. For those who have hammered into the soul of this nation policies and principles clearly about to destroy us are obviously talented and persuasive people. Most of them have truly brilliant minds. Their brilliance is often so great that they honestly do not believe that history has anything to teach them, that anyone can come up with better plans than they, and that the world would be utopia and Valhalla rolled into one if we would simply do as such people tell us to do. Who can doubt that U.S. Senator Ted Kennedy is a repository of vast information? But when a senator of that stature finds his drive to cripple, limit, and shackle this nation's defenses in face of Russian arrogance is in direct harmony with the demands of radicals like Representative Ronald Dellum in the House, he ought to stop and think. When Senator J. William Fulbright finds himself marching the same road of disarmament, no-win wars, peace at any price, as some of the most destructive revolutionary forces in the land, he ought to stop and consider. When a priest, rabbi, or preacher in his pulpit finds himself mouthing the same philosophies and principles as are preached upon the street corner by revolutionary madmen, they should be wise enough to raise some question about the validity of their points of view. In what way are you and I slaves to modern bureaucracies in both the public and private sectors of this nation's business? Every item you buy and every service you purchase is laden over with local, county, district, state, and federal taxes. You are buried beneath a series of required licenses. If you are a retailer, you face a flood of annual statements for fees to renew those licenses. Even more grim are the laws, controls, and enforcement statutes attendant on such licenses. If you are a business owner, you're involved in a function that could bring as many as 200 separate official government inspections in 1 year's time. If you are a wage earner or have any form of income, you must bear your financial toll to the federal government in an income tax report once each year. As to your personal privacy, you have very little left. The technical world, through television, radio, telephone, and the doorbell, gives you little peace. Thousands of public schools teach millions of elementary grade students to spy upon their neighbors and report to open class what those neighbors wear, where they go, what kind of cars they drive, what they do for a living, and a host of other nobody's business personal activities. Once your name gets on a mailing list, it may be sold to 5 or 10 or 100 other solicitors to bombard your mailbox with endless, massive, unrequested mail. If you are on welfare or Social Security or government-sponsored retirement, you are at the mercy of the bureaucracy and the politicians simultaneously. The rate of your benefits can be graded up or down. Your eligibility can be rescinded or reduced. More on liberals and modern slavery in just a few moments. This is Freedom Talk number 73, and you may order printed copies at the rate of 2 for 25 cents from Lifeline, Dallas, Texas, 75206. The aloe vera plant is universally known for its almost magical properties as a beauty aid. At HLH Cosmetics, aloe vera gel is the key ingredient in their full line of HLH aloe vera cosmetics. Ask anyone who has used HLH aloe vera cosmetics what HLH beauty aids will do. HLH creams and lotions have been the key to beauty success for discerning women for years. We suggest that you buy and try HLH astringents, lotions, lipsticks, and a host of other fine cosmetics that you find displayed in those special pink packages. And for year-round protection from the sun and the sun lamp, be sure to use HLH aloe vera suntan lotion. If your store does not stock these fine products, like H.L. Hunt Sales Store, 1401 Elm, Dallas, Texas, 75202 for us, the stores in your area handling all products, or for other information. We are slaves to liberals and modern politicians, bureaucrats, and people planners. Our unending crises come from, one, the stupidity of the federal government, the wastefulness of the U.S. Congress and a White House staff that continues to listen to the wrong people at the wrong time. Two, the noble but misguided purposes and intentions of civil rights advocates, economic equalizers, and opponents of your private free enterprise existence. And three, the well-intentioned but ridiculous pressures of environmentalists who utterly refuse to consider any possibility of tragic consequences to their specific objectives. We are enslaved economically. We were when the late President Franklin D. Roosevelt accepted and enshrined the economic theories of Lord John Maynard Keynes in the 1930s. You were enslaved economically when the Fabian Society of London reached its tentacles across the Atlantic Ocean, planted their feelers strongly in an outfit called the Council on Foreign Relations, the highest echelons of public and private education, and liberal politicians who had no answers of their own but grabbed eagerly for somebody else's manufactured cures. You were enslaved when the Supreme Court of the United States in 1954 upheld the right of the federal government to control and set the price of natural gas at the wellhead for gas users anywhere in the nation. The petroleum industry has spent millions of dollars in efforts to arouse the American people to a threat to their personal safety and welfare because of federal government policies. A majority of the public apparently jeered at the idea, but they applauded loudly when Congress reduced the oil depletion allowance from 27.5% to 22.5% 4 years ago. That alone took $600 million a year out of petroleum operations of this country, and it so reduced oil profits in the early 1970s as to all but halt private voluntary exploration for new sources of energy. You have been enslaved and impoverished through politically dictated worldwide benevolence since 1947. That is without equal in world history. You and I gave until it hurt, and now those we tried to help call us suckers, and we haven't even the courage to call bare hands. We sit upon a veritable ocean of petroleum and natural gas in various states of this union. The government knows it's there. So do the oil interests. What oil companies do not know is precisely where to drill and how deep. It takes hundreds of thousands of dollars to drill a dry hole or a wet hole. You have been enslaved by Ralph Nader and knee-jerking liberal members of Congress, along with a host of environmentalists and anti-pollutionists. Automobile gasoline consumption surged mightily on the 1974 models because Congress forced automobile manufacturers to hastily come up with Rube Goldberg attachments to your car that rob you of at least 25% of your road mileage per gallon. Ecologists went to various courts and held up construction of the Alaskan pipeline for 4 years. Persuaded government to close down the Santa Barbara Channel where nearly 3 billion barrels of oil are locked up, halted the construction of nuclear power generating plants, and went into court hundreds of times to successfully seek restraining orders that prohibited the construction of gasoline refineries. You have been enslaved economically for the rest of your life by a Congress that has permitted our public debt to rise to the impossible level of almost $465 billion. We are but one of 135 nations now members of the United Nations, the remaining 134 nations in the UN, including all other giant countries of the world, have a combined total public debt of $372 billion. Americans must produce the taxes to pay off a public debt that is $93 billion more than the combined public debts of all the rest of the world. You are enslaved by a national press that arrogantly refuses to print, in factual terms, grim and the dangerous truth about how you and I are manipulated every day. You've had 90 days of a gasoline shortage and retarded driving. Your state and federal government knew a shortage was coming. They did ignore the problem for a while. If our political slave traders would simply remove all controls and make it profitable for private industry to operate at full capacity, we will get those reserves, discover more, and you can forget about rationing. It's remarkable that we will continue to rely upon federal and state systems with a record of miserable and total failure of unbearable expense, of confiscatory taxes, and the growing arrogance of government.